Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Do you ever feel like there's a missing link between knowing that I'm crucified with Christ and actually living being crucified with Christ? Well, today, Janie and I are going to be looking at the principles of Galatians 2:20 and digging out the process by which we can live Galatians 2:20, where Paul reckoned to be crucified with Christ and yielded to allow Christ to live in him. So join in the conversation as we uncover the mystery of living crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And Janie, the purpose of the cross is that we may know him. And so Galatians 2:20 gives us really a spiritual application in that walk with him each day.
Well, Sharon, you're right. Galatians 2:20 really gives us the process. And so let's just identify the process there, because most of us are not knowing how to apply the truth of Galatians 2:20. And so therefore, we fall over into a pattern of flesh that keeps us in defeat with a work that's already been accomplished.
Right.
So we just need to know that the first I in Galatians 2:20 is the old man in Adam's family, the original you that got marred because of sin and the result of Adam sinning in the Garden of Eden and causing us to lose our original status.
Oh, okay.
And so the Lord took care of that, because he said that we have been, past tense, crucified with Jesus Christ. So we are not under the bondage and the imprisonment of the old self.
So why do we struggle so much after we know we have been crucified?
There's several things that can cause us to not recognize the process of which we're going through. Once Jesus Christ crucified us on the cross, forgave us of our sins, he gave us a new nature. He took us out of the old Adamic family that we were in bondage to because of Adam and his choices in the garden. And he restored us back into his family. We are now a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
And that is our security. But you know what? For us to talk about operating as a new creature in Christ, then that means the enemy has no part in our life. And he is not going to give up losing where he had us at one point in time when we were under his control.
Right.
He's going to fight. And so we have in Romans 7 that there's a struggle that goes on. And in Romans 7:18 it says, "For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Now, Paul was not saying that as an unbeliever. He is in a battle, struggling for where he cannot comprehend the truth that he knows to be true.
Okay.
And so why is he doing this battle? Because he's got a battle, and it's with the flesh. It's with the old nature,
right,
and the enemy wanting to retain.
So if we're not fighting, we're giving in.
Yes.
So if we don't fight, we're surrendering to our flesh rather than fighting against it.
Well, and we need to make sure if there's no struggle, Sharon, it may be because there's no life.
Okay.
Because we have head knowledge.
All right.
But we should be encouraged when we see there's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, we don't know how to battle in the struggle. When Jesus Christ says, "I've already secured the battle for you, Now walk in truth by faith.
Okay.
But we don't understand what it's even like to walk in truth by faith.
So why are we so blinded in understanding?
Because we are living in a society, in a nation that has pleasure as its main pursuit, and that pleasure is self-fulfillment. So we need to learn to know where we are giving in with our self-fulfillment, our self-enjoyment, and that is to do so without just turning inward and thinking about nothing but self.
But we do have to look at ourselves when we read the scriptures, right?
That is correct, but we have to not do it with introspection, meaning, woe is me, what am I doing wrong, I'm defeated, I'm this, I'm that.
Okay.
We're still focusing on self.
Okay.
Rather than on Jesus Christ and his completed work and sufficiency.
Right.
So what do we do in a case like this? Well, we listen to our conscience. Our conscience will tell us if we're doing something wrong. We don't have to go into a great big diagnostic study and take our eyes off of Jesus. If we're doing something wrong, it's going to go, oh, that's not right.
Right. Okay. All right.
And then by faith, we go and ask the Holy Spirit to show us where our hidden faults are, where we are missing it.
Right. Okay, so I'm hearing this for the first time. Where do I start, Janie? I mean, how do I start?
Well, one place that we can start off is just in the simple illustration about a seed dying, being planted and dying. Do you want to read John 12:24? I think that might give us a little hint of the principle that we need to look at first and foremost.
Sure. John 12:24 says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
Okay, so there is a principle that we need to understand about how to overcome the flesh. And that is that life comes out of death, and we fight the dying process of our flesh. And in 2 Corinthians 4:11, it tells us that first, we are always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus might be made known. So that means that there's a daily dying.
Okay.
All right. And that daily dying can really begin with a daily cleansing of our heart. Start each day out with being quiet and waiting on the Lord and asking him what he needs to do in our life for that day.
And that helps keep our conscience clear, Janie, so we can hear what the Lord is saying to us.
Yes, and then in 2 Corinthians 4:12, there is another principle. Death works in us, but then life for you. So as we are willing to understand our flesh patterns and deal with them according to the truth that the Spirit shows us through our conscience,
right?
Then we are able to minister to others with the life of Christ that he has given us, as we understand Galatians 2:20.
And that's the daily dying process that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 15:31, where he said, I die daily. And that's how we can die daily, is when we spend that time with him in searching and seeking him with our hearts open and willing to receive what he has to say to us.
Because, Sharon, all resurrection life springs out of death. Else it would not be resurrection life.
Right.
So we always are going to be living in his risen life. And Romans 6, verses 5 and 6 is our foundation.
Now let me read that, Janie. Romans 6, verses 5 and 6 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin.
And we've taught on that many times, so I'm not going to go back there today. But let's talk about how we want to minister to somebody with the truth that is already ours.
Okay.
A newborn Christian, and that's who we're going to start off with, has great joy. Can you remember when you accepted Jesus Christ and you thought life was going to be a bowl full of cherries for the rest of your life and there was going to be nothing but victory and glorious encounters and the whole world would revolve around the newfound joy that you have? But in time, little things started to creep in and you started to know some agony in your spirit, in your soul, that brought you to a point of some defeat. And then you were frustrated because you desired to do what was right, but you weren't doing it. And then you wanted to do the right things, but you were doing the wrong things. And a lot of that began because you were in what we would call the birth truths of Christianity. You were learning who God is as your Savior and your Deliverer.
Which is the knowledge of who He is.
Then you had to go on and you had to learn some new truth of identity. And that is, okay, God, I know who You are. I'm learning who You are. Mm-hmm. Now I need to learn who I am because of who You are and how You have created me and fashioned me.
Right.
Now that takes time. And in the interim time while we're learning these truths, the enemy is coming in with little barbs to confuse us. And that's where the flesh is constantly being in a battle.
Right.
And when we get too busy with our daily affairs, Sharon, we fail to start the day off with a heart cleansing, with asking the Lord to guide each of our thoughts, because at any moment we can be walking in truth and the enemy can send a barb of falsehood and it'll slip in just like it did in the garden.
Right.
And we're now back into frustration and fretting and we don't know what happened and where it went wrong.
So when we feel like things are failing, usually that's when the Lord is being the most successful in our lives.
Yes, because what's He doing? He's revealing to us that we have a need for more of Him that we didn't even know we needed.
And less of us.
Absolutely. So that is really what we call the exchange life. And Sharon, I'm going to throw a little sidebar in here. In all of my years of reading biographies and autobiographies of some of the greatest saints and have done the greatest works in the power of the Spirit, they all had one common denominator. They said that on the mission field, they felt like they were always frustrated, searching, but never able to find the power of the resurrection. They knew they had resurrected life, but they didn't know how to function in the power of the resurrection. And it wasn't until they were willing to exchange their life for the Lord Jesus' life without losing who they were as a person.
And that's key, isn't it? We don't know how to do that, do we?
We really don't, because if Jesus Christ is doing everything, then I'm kind of like a blob over here and just living in a body, and I've lost how He created me with the uniqueness, with my own personality, temperament, that He doesn't want us to lose.
Right.
You know, the way Sharon Hoskins was created before the foundations of the world is going to be the Sharon Hoskins that's going to go into eternity. God didn't make a mistake in the way He created you. Sin has marred that. Sin has marred my personality and temperament, but it hasn't destroyed it. And as we learn Galatians 2:20 and living in the power of that via the cross, reckoning and yielding, then we can be comfortable in the temperament that God has given us.
So what happens is when we're learning who we are and revealing our personality and our temperament, the enemy uses that to show us all our faults and failures and get us to introspect.
Yes.
And to get off track.
And then we go about thinking, oh, like little Thomas the Tank Engine, I think I can, mm-hmm. I'll try harder, I'll do better. Sharon, we cannot improve the flesh that Jesus Christ crucified.
Right.
Flesh is beyond recovery.
Well, you know, Janie, we've always said that flesh cannot fix flesh. We can't improve on the flesh. And so if Jesus didn't crucify it, then we're kind of hopeless, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we don't want to admit that we are a failure because flesh wants us to have self-assertion and mm-hmm. self-acceptance. So you know what we do? We have this little phrase that was even used quite comical on a television program by Flip Wilson. Oh, it's not my flesh. The devil made me do it.
Well, if we don't take responsibility for our own actions, then our conscience will become dull of hearing. And so therefore, we wouldn't be able to hear the Holy Spirit and walk in the newness of life. We're just walking in the flesh, claiming Christianity, going through the motions, just like the people did in the book of Galatians. So they went back to their old ways of doing things because it was comfortable. It didn't require them to take responsibility to keep their conscience clear. They could just go back to living in the flesh, doing all these duties and rituals and traditions.
And, you know, why is it that they wouldn't want to listen to their conscience?
Because it requires something of us. It's discipline. It hurts.
Now you hit
it's
the word.
It's painful.
Yes, because the conscience is saying you're doing something wrong, and we don't like to be confronted with wrong. In fact, that's why a lot of people are going to hell, because they believe they're good people, and they don't need the cross. They don't need Jesus. Mm-hmm. They can just get into heaven because they've been a good person.
Right.
I've heard that so many times. And what was happening is the principle that the Lord says that the just, those that are in his family, must live by faith. And when you try to find a system that gives you comfort that is not of the person of Jesus Christ, then you're getting yourself into a hopeless situation. So let's just talk about faith, Sharon.
Okay. All right.
Faith is progressive.
Okay.
So the first thing my faith is going to have to learn is that I have been justified because Jesus Christ paid for the price of my sins. And most Christians can accept that. That's I got out of hell and into heaven.
Into heaven, right.
Right?
That justification. Right?
And then once that is done, then there's a next step, and that is found in Ephesians 1, and we've talked about that again, and that is we have to then agree by faith that we have been accepted in the Beloved.
Right.
That's in Ephesians 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the places where the enemy tells us that we are a failure and we can never change and we're doomed, that is denying what Jesus Christ said he did when he accepted us in the Beloved.
Right. Okay.
So that's one of the reasons when we get under guilt.
Right.
And we get under depression because I can never do anything right. I'm
mm-hmm.
such a failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a denial of the truth of Ephesians 1, where God says, past tense, we are already accepted in the Beloved forever.
So we're basically calling God a liar.
Or a helpless myth that can't really do. He's just a wild story.
Well, if we're Christians, though, and we reject part of the scripture, I mean, that's basically what we're doing when we're saying, oh, well, I'm helpless. I can't do anything right. I'm a complete and total failure. We're rejecting that part of the scriptures as not truth.
And we're still focusing on me, myself, and I, because what I think is more important than what's in the scripture.
Right, right. Okay.
And then we have another step that faith requires, And that again is found in the book of Galatians. What is our position in Christ? You see, if He is in me and I am in Him, then I have to believe that what He says applies to me, and His truth is greater than my truth on thinking that what I do and my agenda becomes more important than what He has done in placing me in Him. That is called a position.
Okay.
And we have to yield our truth to His truth. And when He says that you are in me and I in you, then everything that is attached to that has to be accepted. And that takes a while to accept. That is not something we just learn overnight. That's really what we would call a growth truth.
Okay.
And then the last thing is we have to learn what our identity is. You know, as we look at the culture today, people don't know who they are.
Right.
But if we realize that we as Christians are spiritual beings living in our body, but our body is a part of how we have been created, then we will identify with who God says we are.
Mm-hmm.
Who He says He is, and how He wants us to then live in that truth.
Right.
But everything we've just talked about is a negation of the principle that we have to live by faith, and we're choosing not to live by faith. We're choosing to live by our own intellect, by our own opinions, by our own deception of where our flesh is being listened to by the enemy, mm-hmm. rather than in truth.
Right. Okay. Well, we find in Colossians 3, starting in verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God."
You know, many people tell you that when you are heavenly minded, you're no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to overcome the flesh, we need to know the mind of Christ so that we can be earthly good right here in our mortal bodies,
right,
as the Lord has told us.
So basically, knowing Christ overflows out of us to others, and we have it backwards, just like we have everything else.
Well said.
Death comes from life. I mean, life comes from death, and success comes from failure.
And, you know, Sharon, it's just simply a defective faith, not trusting, that causes us to fall and stumble.
Well, here's where I've struggled, Janie. I've really misappropriated the knowledge of being in Christ.
Many people absolutely lose their personality. Well, Jesus Christ is mm-hmm. doing everything for me, and I'm just kind of a body over here, but I don't think or feel because Christ is doing it all. And so we lose our sense of who we are in our personality.
So we're not supposed to be lost in Christ. He is supposed to be found in us.
That's a very profound statement, because we know that Jesus Christ says that He is love, but the old flesh cannot love. Now, we can have affection in the natural, but agape love has to be born out of the life of Christ. It is a sacrificial love, and flesh is not going to sacrifice.
Okay.
Flesh wants to have pleasure as its main pursuit. It wants to have self-fulfillment, and it really doesn't have any room for sacrificial love. So we kind of have a tendency to live in the glow of our own goodness, and we do not recognize the seriousness of the struggle of the flesh controlled by the enemy that's going to keep us from doing the very thing that our hearts desire.
So we're really kind of clueless.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to say this. Satan deceives Christians to seek and beg for God to do what He's already done.
Mm. That's profound. But that's all the time we have for today, Janie. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHarts.org. That's Sharon, SHARIN, Hearts, HEARTS.org.